time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Mahan joins us as always. Hello, sir.
Welcome to the wide, wide world of middle school sports. I am joining you live from the Dowdy School.
Ooh.
We are taking on some team in green. Hi, everybody. Yeah, Eric Mahan here. Carrie here. That was weird.
You know, I get that a lot, actually.
Yeah, well, that's okay, fair. I don't mean that. And then you hit me with soul coughing. I feel great.
Well, because I know that you went to see them on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, it afforded me the opportunity to feel young again, because I think Christine and I might have been the youngest people. No, in fact, it was a sea of, I joked to Christine, I was like, it was a sea of people that looked like they were my middle school teachers.
Wow.
And I looked at my beautiful wife and I said, and we probably blend in just fine, don't we?
Well, since I was your wife's middle school teacher, I'm not sure what to make of that.
It means that, you know what? It means that it was a bunch of really cool people that got to, like, all gather together and be like, yeah, we like this really weird culty band. But then you see other people you know. I mean, I was there with several Bangor people, and I was informed later that there were other Bangorians. You know, we're out there, and we're weird, but in a good way. And, I mean, as everybody who just heard that intro understands, that is a funky, funky band, and it was cool. So, yeah, and again, I don't know if we'll ever have the chance again. This was 25 years, and the whole theme was they said it wouldn't happen, and it may never happen again. But it was really cool.
Nice.
And it inspired myself and my drummer in 161, who was there, standing next to me and grooving out, that you can be apart for years and years and years and still get back together and play good music.
As we'll find out in just 10 days, yeah. Right?
Next, the 11th, we are at Orono Brewing Company. Please come on out. It is 6 to 8. So speaking of people our age, 6 to 8, bring your kids, family friendly, and we'll play some fun tunes, and then we can all go home and go to sleep.
Perfect plan right there.
Listen, this is the best plan I've ever had in my life, which says a lot. Listen, let's talk about some wine, because I certainly don't want to talk about football.
Oof.
We're going to we talked about California all last month, which is worthy because California produces 89% of the United States' wine. But there's other viticulture in North America, and we're going to kind of touch on the major sections. But before that, I'm just going to kind of 30,000 feet here. Currently, all 50 states produce wine. Of course, some of those vineyards may be underwater right now, but every state produces wine, including, yes, the people in the South who grow slightly different grapes than maybe you've heard of, but they still do it. We are the fourth largest wine-producing nation after Italy, Spain, and France. However, we are only the sixth most planted country, France, Italy, Spain, China, Turkey being ahead of us. Obviously, when the Vikings got here, we were called by them Vinland. You know, there were vines everywhere, and I'll just remind everybody that those aren't the grapes that we like to drink. The strain Vitis vinifera is the strain that we like to drink, but they found a bunch of other grapes here and vines here, which helped a lot, because when we figured out that the phylloxera louse really didn't bother a lot of the rootstock of North America, it helped save the vineyards of the free world, essentially. But yes, of course, remember, East Coast attempts initially started and were stunted by this microscopic bug, or really the aphids of it is really what eats the roots. So the first commercially successful American wine was called Pink Catawba, which I guess kind of still exists, but Catawba is an actual grape strain, and the successful one was from Ohio. It's mostly found in the Ohio River Valley. Long Island and the Mid-Atlantic region has a very Bordelaise sort of climate, so now that we've figured out how to grow Vitis vinifera on the East Coast, that's all happening. Certainly the Finger Lakes must be mentioned. They are a place where they're doing a lot of Germanic varietals, certainly Riesling, but other interesting things. Also, not just Germanic, but I should say sort of Germanic into Eastern European varietals, Riccatatelli, which is from Eastern Europe, things like that. Cab Franc as well, which is a well-known French varietal from the Loire, and Bordeaux is finding a lot of success there. So, and it's also like it's a really pretty place to visit. So if anybody has an interest in serious wine growing and wants to go somewhere really pleasant, go to the Finger Lakes region of New York. It's absolutely gorgeous. And because like that area has been so successful, by the way, there has been a lot of research at places like Cornell. And then sort of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan has been fairly successful, and places like that. So there's been a lot of research from universities in these areas, University of Minnesota, as I said, Cornell, for doing like hybrid varietals that are going to be successful in these more northerly climates. And don't be surprised when you start to see these particular hybrid varietals start to take root in Maine, literally and figuratively. And one of the chief things that obviously we're fortunate to deal with, slash, you know, with respect to what's been happening down south, we don't have a lot of the elevation here that allows for not having to worry about things like mildew and rot like that. So a lot of the research that's being done at these universities is also mostly to deal with grapes that can sort of deal with mildew and rot and things that are associated with a damper atmosphere, a more wet atmosphere, because we don't have the strong winds. I know that sounds ridiculous to people. We're coming into October when we have all these windstorms, but it's true. It's not really ideal for growing the sort of grapes that we want to, unless we sort of figure out tricks and ways around it. So there we go. Really quickly, before I run out of time, I did want to remind everybody I'm doing this Message in the Bottle video series in addition to this wonderful radio program that I do every week. That is to be found at YouTube at Bangor Wine. I have not done videos in a couple days. I apologize, but of course I was preoccupied with grooving out like my 21-year-old self. And both Christine and I felt it the next day, but that's okay. That's what ibuprofen is for. do check out the Message in the Bottle video series as well. Just, it's stuff that we go over on this segment, but it's also a little bit more expanded, and maybe watching me wave my hands around and explain the things will be better than simply listening to my firm baritone on Rich's show. I don't know. Whatever works for you. Next week, we'll talk about the Willamette Valley and how all those areas out west, which are some of our, aside from California, our biggest wine-producing areas, were formed geologically. And we'll go from there. In the meantime, I hope everybody has an awesome week. And I'll see you in the store, and I'll talk to you all next week.
Wonderful. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week.
Cheers, folks. Bye-bye.
See you next Tuesday. Eric Meehan, Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. You can check out all of Eric's segments. They're posted on the website at downtownwithrichkimble.com.